Okay, welcome back everyone to our experience Shabbat Shir. So we're picking up from where we left off 2 weeks ago, which is we were in the middle of speaking about Friday night davening. This will be the last Shir on Friday night davening, and God willing, next week we will begin talking about Shabbos morning davening. But we were up to talking about the Friday night Amidah, the Friday night Shemona Esrei. And what we mentioned previously was that what makes Shabbos davening so intriguing is that it's the only time on any throughout any of the other tefillos that we have, whether it be regular weekday davening or Yontif davening, anything else, it's the only time when our Shemona Esrei changes. For every single davening, right? Meaning our Shemona Esrei on Friday night, on Shabbos morning, both Shacharis and Musaf, and Mincha, they're all different Shemona Esreis. And so there's clearly a lot to talk about there. So I do recommend if you have a sitter nearby to use a sitter, because we're going to be looking at the brachos inside. But basically, if you look at the Friday night Shemona Esrei, so the opening three brachos and the closing three brachos, that's a regular part of Shemona Esrei, right? That's how we do it every time we have Shabbos or Yontif. Always the opening three and the closing three are always the same as the regular weekday ones, and so a relevant conversation for another time, but not for right now. Just focus specifically on Shabbos davening. But we'll speak about the middle part, the singular blessing in the middle, which starts with the paragraph of Ataki Dashta. So you'll notice that there are three paragraphs in Friday night davening. There's Ataki Dashta, there's Vayichulu, which by the way we repeat after Shemona Esrei, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, and then there's the final paragraph of Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. And interestingly, this third paragraph is actually repeated in all of the Shabbos davenings, as you may be aware. So it's really Ataki Dashta and Vayichu that are unique to Friday night. So let's look at these a little bit inside, and let's try to understand what was at least small messages that we can take and small meanings that we can take away from each of these paragraphs. So the first paragraph goes as follows. Ataki Dashta, as Yom HaShvi'i L'Shmecha, that you have sanctified the seventh day for your name. Tachles Ma'aseh Shemayim V'Aretz, that this was the purpose, this was the culmination, if you will, of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Uvirachto mikol hayamim, and you have blessed this day from all other days. Vikidashto mikol hazmanim, and you have sanctified this time from all other times. V'chein kasav b'sarasecha. So two points on this. So first of all, notice that one of the most important factors that we mention in this paragraph is the fact that we're mentioning creation. We know very well, as we've spoken about several times in the past, that the whole point of Shabbos is that by keeping Shabbos, one is admitting and one is agreeing to the fact that Hashem created the heavens and the earth, that He worked for 6 days, and that He rested on the seventh day. So if you keep Shabbos, you're essentially saying, I agree that Hashem created the worlds, and that's we're following His pattern of working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. That's why it's so important to keep Shabbos, and that's why it's so critical if a person does not keep Shabbos, God forbid, and what the ramifications of that are, because that's basically you're saying that you're not necessarily agreeing to the fact that Hashem kept Shabbos. And notice also that in this paragraph, what do we call Shabbos? We call it Yom HaShvi'i. We call it Yom HaShvi'i throughout this paragraph and the next paragraph, and we don't call it Shabbos. We say Yom HaShvi'i. We say the seventh day. So why is it called the seventh day here and not Yom HaShabbat? Why isn't it Ataki Dasha Es Yom HaShabbat L'Shmecha, that you sanctified Shabbos for your name? Why is it that you sanctified the seventh day? And so the answer is, as others explain, is ultimately because of the fact that when you're talking about specifically the Shabbos as it relates to the creation, while Shabbos at the beginning of time was not called Shabbos. It was just called Yom HaShvi'i. God rested on the Yom HaShvi'i. God rested on the seventh day. When does Shabbos get the name Shabbos? Only in Sefer Shemos. Only once we get to the book of Exodus, then it becomes Shabbos. But at the beginning, at the time of creation, it was only called the seventh day, and therefore that's why we only call it the seventh day on Friday night when we're speaking about the fact that Shabbos is linked to creation. Also notice the fact that what the opening two words over here of Ataki Dashta, that you have sanctified, so there are those who explain it, right? If you remember last time, we spoke about the fact that each of the Shabbos davenings represents a different layer of our connection with Hashem. The evening is the Kiddushin, the betrothal ceremony that we experience with Hashem. So that's why some say, we say Ataki Dashta, that you have sanctified. What is it? What is another way of looking at this? Ataki Dashta? Well, you could say Kiddushin sounds like Kiddushin. You have done Kiddushin. So in other words, we're alluding to the fact that this davening this evening is the betrothal aspect of our relationship with Hashem, as we will now continue throughout Shabbos. This is step one in that relationship. Those are just a few points on that first paragraph. Let's now jump to the second paragraph of Vayechulu. So the second paragraph goes as follows. Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzva'am. And that the heavens and the earth, they were completed. And in its completion, on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. He rests on this seventh day from all this work. It's very redundant paragraph, if you've ever noticed. So God rests from all of the work that he has done. And Hashem blessed the seventh day. And here we go again, that word, and God sanctified it. Kibo Shabbas Mikol Malachto, that Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, that God, so God blessed the seventh day, and he made this a holy day because he stopped from doing work on it. He stopped from all the work that he was doing. So several points on this paragraph. So first of all, it's interesting to note that the Rav and Halachic Man writes as follows. I'm going to read for you a quick passage from his book, Halachic Man. He says, when a Jew on the Sabbath Eve recites this passage as part of the Kiddush, the sanctification over the wine, he testifies not only to the existence of a creator, but of man's obligation to become a partner with the Almighty in the continuation and perfection of the creation. In other words, what the Rav is alluding to when we say that Vayichulu, we keep mentioning the fact that God is the creator, God created, what we're trying to say is that God is the creator, but we too are creators, and we are partners with Hashem in that form of creation. That's why when Rabbi Soloveitchik, he explains the words that we say in the third or fourth sentence, Mikol Melachto, Vayishbos Bayom Hashvi'i Mikol Melachto, that he rested on the seventh day from all of his work. This emphasizes the value of work, right? That not only are we partners in God with that work, but that God wants us to be working. He wants us to be filling our first 6 days of the week, Sunday through Friday. He wants us to fill those days with work because he works, so we should work. He then therefore rests on the seventh day, and we should rest on the seventh day. But you can't rest on the seventh day if you haven't worked the first 6 days. So it's not just about the resting on Shabbos, but it's about doing the work on the first 6 days. And in that vein, the Chassam Sofer actually writes that in the final words of the paragraph, that Asher bara Elokim la'asos, like all the work that he had created to do, the English translation is not as good, but it basically what the Chassam Sofer explains is that God created the world, he finished creating the world, but we know he didn't actually finish creating the world. We know that God left different aspects of creation unfinished, right? So if two famous examples, right, the fact that in Judaism we believe that men need to have a bris mila, need to have a circumcision. Why? Because we need to take a partnership in that creation, and that's what this is alluding to. God finished creating the world? Well, actually, the little asterisk next to it, no, he didn't. He finished creating the world up until the point that he was meant to, because of the fact that he sees us as the partners to finish up the creation. And so therefore, this is the Chassam Sofer notes that this is alluding to the fact that God created the world unfinished, to note that we are supposed to be partners with God in creation, in creating the world. And this is actually, therefore, what the Gemara in Shabbos says on Kuf Yud Testament Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos says, we know that the paragraph begins with the word Vayichulu, that God completed, but actually, if you look at the word, if you take away the nekudos, right, the vowelization, you can read it as not Vayichulu, but Vayichlu, and they completed. Why would it have such a double meaning? In order to, again, to allude to the fact that we, too, are partners in this creation, that not only is God the creator, but we are the creators as well. So it's not just God that finishes creating after the first 6 days and then rest, but we, too, always finish creating after those 6 days, and we then take a rest as well. Two more points in this paragraph. So one is the fact that Rabbi Sachs, actually, you could take this or leave this, but it is fascinating nonetheless. Rabbi Sachs notes that in the entire paragraph, not just the Vayichulu paragraph, but in the entirety of the creation story, the number seven comes up an incredible amount of times. And if not the number seven, then a multiple of the number seven. And it's unbelievable how that seems to be a central theme. He says, and then the passage of Vayichulu, how many words are there? Well, I'm not going to let you count. I'll do it for you. He does it for us. There are 35 words in the passage of Vayichulu. Why 35? Because it's a multiple of 7. 5 times 7 is 35. The word good, the word tov, appears 7 times in the entire creation story. The word God appears 35 times. The word Eretz appears 21 times. All of these are multiples of the number 7. And the complete text of the entire creation story is 469 words. hours, which the maybe you could do that math, but I can't do that math in my head. That's 7 times 67. So all these numbers seem to be multiples of the number 7, showing us, according to Rabbi Sacks, how 7 seems to be the main dominating factor since the beginning of time, which would therefore signal to us the fact that the seventh day is what creation was all about. And all of this is meant to be alluded to as we are learning and reading and davening with this text before us. Finally, in this paragraph, we also, as I noted when we were reading it, that we say Vayekadesho so there's the notion that God sanctified. So what's the value of understanding that this is sanctified? Well, Heschel very famously explains in his book Sabbath, or The Sabbath, I forget what it's called offhand, but he famously explains, and others explain significantly as well, that Judaism is very different than any other religion. Every religion has a concept of the sanctification of a place, right? We know that our holiest place in the world is the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodashim, fine. But every religion has a holy place. Well, that's not such a unique thing that we have a holy temple, because every religion has a holy temple. What makes Judaism unique? We are the only religion, it seems, to value the sanctification of time to such an extent. To say that the seventh day of the week, okay, it looks a lot like the previous days, right? As the sun rises and the moon then comes at night, and then, okay, fine, the weather is not... It's usually pretty similar from Friday to Shabbos, but that the seventh day is literally a different day because the day itself has become sanctified by God. We are the only religion to really believe in sanctified time as much as we do. So that's not to say that other religions don't believe that there is a day that you go to church or a day that you go to your house of worship, perhaps, I think we even made such a point maybe in the very first experience Shabbat Shir, that ultimately, an individual from another religion does not find themselves going to their house of worship on their holy day of the week, then it would seem that there's not much holiness to that day, because ultimately their holiness is found in the sanctification of the place that they go to. However, Jews, we know that unfortunately we had to experience it, if you don't go to shul on Shabbos, let's say you can't, for example, then Shabbos is exactly the same. It still has that same sanctity, because we believe in the sanctification of time, and that too is a theme of this Friday night davening, that we talk about the fact that God sanctifies time, and how special that is that we believe in sanctified times in general. Then finally we have the third paragraph, and again, this third paragraph is mentioned in all of the Shabbos davenings, but we'll go through it a little bit more in depth right now, or at least we'll go through the translation a little bit more now, and perhaps we'll give little spatterings of other tidbits as we go through the other amidos. So let's read this paragraph. So Elokeinu, Elokei Avosinu, right, the God, our God and the God of our fathers, Ritzev Menuchasenu, you should find favor in our resting. Kadshenu b'mitzvosecha v'sin chalkinu b'sorasecha. Please, God, make us holy, or sanctify us, rather, through our mitzvos, and give us the portion in your Torah. Sabeinu mituvecha, satiate us with your goodness. V'samchinu b'yishuasecha, and gladden us, make us happy with your salvation. V'tahir livinu le'avdecha b'emes, and purify our hearts to serve you in truth. V'hanchilinu Hashem elokinu b'yavah v'ratzon shabbas kadshecha. Grant us, like your lot, meaning give us your holy Shabbos, give us the holy Shabbos, so that the Jewish people can sanctify your name. So this is the conclusion of this blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies Shabbos. So there are many things that we could talk about in this paragraph, but let's just talk about a few things. Number one is that it's interesting to note that in this paragraph, what are we doing over here? We're actually making requests. We don't make requests on any other blessing throughout all of Shabbos. We do maybe a little bit here and there, but in terms of the basic liturgy that we're supposed to be saying, we usually don't make requests except for this paragraph. This is the central paragraph of requests that we make on Shabbos. And if you'll notice what is significant about the types of requests that they're making, there's not a single physical request, right? We're not making any requests like the usual middle blessings that we have in the weekday Shemona Esrei. We're making very spiritual things. We're saying, help us rest, give us your mitzvos, give us your Torah, etc., etc., because Shabbos is all about the spiritual. We're not focused on the physical, we're focused on the spiritual. And Rav Tzadok Milublin says that Shabbos davening is particularly valuable because of the fact that on Shabbos, we're only asking for the needs of our neshama, we're only asking for the needs of our soul, like we see in this paragraph. And the Nesiva Shalom actually says that on Shabbos, when we're specifically tasting, we're enjoying a taste of the world to come, of Olam Haba, so our tefilos, since we're tasting Olam Haba, so our tefilos express express a certain more elevated type of prayer that we're specifically asking for those things to help us draw close to God. Because when we're surrounded by the avira of Olam Haba, if you will, as when we walk into the seventh day, when we walk into Shabbos, so we're drawn to ask for things that are more elevated. We don't need to ask for our physical needs. We're only asking for our spiritual needs, because all we want is to draw closer to Hashem. The last thing that I'll say about this paragraph is that you'll note, depends on how observant you are, but many of us have been saying this paragraph for many years, and so you'll note that this paragraph is said through every single Shabbos davening, but there's one word that changes in every single Shemoneh Esrei, and that is that when we say Vayenuchu Va Kol Yisrael Mekadosh Shemecha, so we don't so that word Va, that word Beis Hey, it changes throughout each different davening on Shabbos. On Friday nights we say Ba, on Shabbos morning Shachris and Musaf we say Vo, and then on Mincha we say Vam. So why in the world are we changing over here? So the Magen Avraham talks about this. He says that technically, when you think about it, so what's the proper way to form the word? So it's Vayanuchu Va Kol Yisrael Mekadosh Shemecha. So that we're going to rest on it, that all of the Jewish people are going to rest on it to sanctify your name. So rest on what? Rest on Shabbos. Shabbos is feminine, therefore va is actually the right grammatical way to put it. So it should actually say it should be va in all of the Shabbos Shemoneh Esreis. So why does it change? So there's different perspectives over here, but the one of the answers given seems to be that it again reflects the different levels and the different aspects of what each Shemoneh Esrei is about. If we're doing the Kiddushin process on Friday night, then perhaps the Friday night represents the notion of like a woman being single, because that's when the Kedushin process takes place. So therefore, Va is feminine. And then in the morning, when Vo takes place, which is more masculine, so perhaps that's meant to note that the bride and the groom are coming together, and perhaps you could even say that the groom is coming to the bride. And then finally, when you get to the end of Shabbos, when you get to Mincha, when the Jewish people are now fully close and connected with Hashem, so then the word is Vam. Why Vam? Because that's plural. That means they. So meaning that we are no longer just an individual unit. We are no longer two individual units, man and woman, or Klal Yisrael and God. We are Vam. We are they. We are a single unit. We are together. So that's just an interesting thing to note. I think at one point I probably used to read through this and think that it was like a typo. Like, why is it sometimes Va and other times Vo? All right, because it's not so intuitive. You know, you get so used to saying the words, and so but it's not a typo. It's meant to be, and that custom came to help us understand the different aspects and the different levels of each Shabbos morning, of each Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei that we have. A few final notes, and that is right after we finish Shemoneh Esrei, so we finish Shemoneh Esrei, we then know that right after Shemoneh Esrei, we have a few interesting paragraphs that we say. First of all, we say Vayechulu again. Why in the world do we say Vayechulu again? It's so odd. We literally just said it 2 minutes ago in our silent Shemoneh Esrei. Why are we repeating it? So Rav Moshe Lichtenstein gives three different answers in the new RCA Center. He has three different answers that he puts down. First of all, he says that Vayechulu is a very important paragraph because of the fact that it's affirming that we believe that Hashem created the world, and that we're keeping Shabbos because Hashem created the world. If you'll note, even though we say it on Shabbos davening, we don't say it on, we would not say it on a Yontif, right? So therefore, since the Yontif davening doesn't have Vayechulu, so if you would therefore say it on Shabbos, so it makes sense to put it at the end because you want to make sure that you're always going to say Vayechulu at this point, and therefore since Yontif davening doesn't have the Vayechulu, so we stick it here not just for after Yontif Shemoneh Esrei, but even for after Shabbos davenings as well. He also says that one of the reasons is perhaps, let's say you couldn't say the Amidah by yourself, so therefore you put in Vayechulu because everyone should be saying it, so if you couldn't say it by yourself, so we put it over here. And then finally he gives an opinion of the Ramban, and the Ramban says that Sin Shabbos it's designated by the Torah, it's called Mikra Kodesh, so we therefore it's a time in which we are like calling it out for sanctity, so therefore we need to find a time to call Shabbos out for sanctity, so we have to find a moment where we all communally sanctify Shabbos together, and that's the notion of Vayechulu, that even though we just said it a second ago by ourselves, we all have to say it together to show that we are saying it as a group. And this is where the idea comes from. If you've ever seen, there are some people who after Vayechulu, let's say they someone takes a long time in their Shmona Esrei, and the minyan then starts Vayechulu before they finish their Shmona Esrei. So is one allowed to say Vayechulu by themselves, or must they say it as part of a group? And if you can't say it as part of a group, then do you not say it, or should you say it by yourself, or should you specifically go and find another person to say it with? So there are several different opinions over here. So first of all, the Torah notes that Vayechulu, it needs to be said out loud, and it needs to be said while standing. Why? Because suggests that when we say the paragraph of Vayechulu, we're actually giving testimony to the fact that Hashem created the world. And so then the Taz comes in. The Taz says that it actually does need 10 people. One cannot say Vayechulu without 10 people. That's why the whole minyan needs to say it together. But the Mishnah Berurah says that, no, what do you mean? There are times when a person cannot say it with 10 people because, A, maybe they're not in shul. It could happen, right? There could be a pandemic. Or number two, it could be that their Shmona Esrei lasted a little bit too long. So what is a person supposed to do? So the Mishnah Berurah says you could do it in pairs. If you can't find 9 other men to say it with, then you can do it with another, just find another and do it as a pair, and that would be fine. But the Chazon Ish does not like this. The Chazon Ish disagrees, and he says, no, you need a minimum of 10 people to do it with. So if you don't have 10 people, then there's no point of doing it with another person. So fine, so you just do it, I guess. You know, it's probably important to do, but there's no extra value in doing it in a pair of two. And therefore, according to him, it would seem that you can just say it by yourself as well if you're not going to have everyone else saying with you. Then, after we get to Vayechulu, we have this thing called what's the name of the paragraph that comes after Vayechulu, the three paragraphs? Anyone know? Right, the whole paragraph of Magen Avot. What is that called? So it's called the Birchas Me'in Sheva, right? It's the bracha, which is a synopsis of the 7 blessings of Shmona Esrei. So it's a fascinating part of our Shabbos davening, because we don't have this anywhere else in any of the other liturgy that we do. And it would seem that if you look at the text itself, the text itself looks a lot like Shmona Esrei. You go through it, and every single blessing of the 7 blessings that we just said is repeated in these 7 in this small 3-paragraph. Thing that we do over here. So what in the world is going on over here? Why do we say this? So there are a few different perspectives given. So first of all, it would seem clear that, by the way, the only time we never do chazaras hashatz, the only time we never do a repetition, is on the nighttime in general. However, it's interesting to note as well that back in the day, most people did not usually go to Marv. Why? There are several reasons why a person would not go to Marv. Number one, maybe a person was busy at work. Number two, maybe it wasn't safe, perhaps, to travel because it was outside of the city limits, and so therefore it wasn't doable. So a lot of people evidently did not always use the daven Marv publicly. So therefore there was never a need to say that we should do a repetition of Shmona Esrei, because evidently maybe only the people who were coming were those who were committed and able to and knew all the words. So there was no need to have a repetition for those who couldn't say it. That's perhaps one perspective. And therefore, on Friday night, when everyone comes to shul, what should we do? Well, there will be people who may not know how to say the words of Shmona Esrei. So it makes sense to do some sort of a chazaras hashatz, some sort of a repetition. So one perspective is to say that Magen Avot is basically just the repetition in and of itself. And it's for those people maybe who were not able to say Shmona Esrei, perhaps. Another perspective is given by the Gemara in Yerushalmi, is that it was an adopted text that was taken on. For a shul who, you know, we back in the day, and this has become a prevalent custom among many shuls today now as well, although we'll see what happens post-COVID, but there is an idea that, right, you make kiddush in shul, and so if you're making kiddush in shul, let's say a shul cannot afford to have wine, so how do you make kiddush? So the Yerushalmi says that some people used to say this paragraph, maybe as the way the shul could make kiddush if the shul itself cannot afford any grape juice or wine. And then finally, there are those who, that this is, I think, the most classical understanding of why we say this, and that is that back in the day, the Gemara in Shabbos explains on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis that the shuls all used to be located outside of the city limits. And if that's the case, anyone who's walking to and from the shul is going to be in danger if they walk by themselves. But let's say a person gets to shul a little bit later, and if they get to shul a little bit later, maybe, although this seems to be not something that happens nowadays, right, people can come to shul at every different time, but everyone always finishes the same time. And no matter what, I was listening to a shir by someone else, and they said it must be a miracle, and everyone magically is able to finish the same time. I have one Rebbe Rebbe, he used to say that davening is like a train, right? Everyone gets on at different stops for a train, but everyone always gets off at the same stop. Anyways, so there are people who may end up coming late on Friday night to davening, or the people who did come late for Friday night davening. And what happens if they still are davening at the end? So they're going to be left alone. If they're going to be left alone, that means they're going to have to go home by themselves. If they're going to have to go home by themselves, they'll be very dangerous. So Chazal said, we have to institute an extra blessing, an extra few paragraphs that will be said, so that those who are still in the middle of their Shemona Esrei will be able to finish up, so that they can walk home with the group. That's how Berchas Me'in Sheva was born. That's how this extra Magen Avos blessing was born at the end, after Shemona Esrei on Shabbos, to help those people who are the later walk-ins, to give them a little more time to finish up their Shemona Esrei, so they'd be able to walk home with the rest of the group. With that, we then conclude our discussion on talking about Friday night davening, right? So again, there's many aspects of Friday night davening that they're not existent in other tefillos. So there's a lot really here, but the goal of this was really just to give an overview and a synopsis of what we're trying to do on Friday night. God willing, next time we'll continue with a Shabbos morning davening, but for now, we'll wish everyone a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos, and a Freilichen Zos Chanukah, a happy last night of Chanukah.